worship from every tribe, every people, every tongue. And so as we learn to commit our lives to following him, and is what God is doing right now, you know, guys, it's not just in AOX, it's not just in Grove City, it's not just in this region. God is calling his people together. We are moving beyond the concepts of community into the fabric of family. And it's all written throughout the scriptures. And it's like the grace of God. Guys, listen, oh, Holy Spirit, help. 500 years since the Reformation. 500 years since people laid down their lives to see the gospel of Jesus spread in a greater way. 500 years since there was a revealing. How many of you know that 600 years of God, the word was still true? There was never a time that he released, oh, here's the Bible, Reformers edition. But there was a grace of God because of the Father's commitment to restore all things. The Father never took it away. But as we fumble, we have not necessarily seen scripture for all it's worth. By his grace and by his kindness, you know, if you look for a second, Micah is sitting in a shadow. Moriah is sitting in the light. Can you see the difference there? Can you see that? Now, if you actually, Moriah, stand up and come here, and Micah, move over. Watch what happens. Now Micah is coming into the light. All right. Hey, stay in the light. Stay in the light. Stay in the light, bro. Stay in the light. No, wait. No, watch. Guys, this is so important because I think sometimes, and we're going to talk about this a little bit this morning, this is so important that we get this. Sometimes we feel a commitment to the faith of our fathers. And so I had someone tell me this week, someone I love said, I need to go back and study what the fathers believed. That's not wrong and not bad, but understand that scripture says we build line upon line, precept upon precept. Because of what people gave their lives for, to see the word of God come to us. To see things like the idea of like salvation is not by church membership, but by grace through faith. Because of that, we build on top of that. Now, Micah, stand up and come here. David, move over. David is now in the light. Now, do I throw away Moriah and Micah because now something new is in the light? No, we build on top of it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right now, by God's grace, he's shining his light on scriptures that have always been there about his body and about family. We're not moving away from the other foundations he's established, but I believe by God's grace, we're moving into a time where the reformation that God is doing now is not primarily a doctrinal reformation, it's a reformation of practice. You don't have to have a massive shift in your doctrinal thinking. We have to have a shift in the way that we're living it out. Does that make sense? You can all return to your original seats. All right. So, as we have talked about identity already and we're making our way to sexuality and gender, I recognize this is a important thing. And I was just spent the weekend with Georgian and Wendy Banoff and some of their amazing friends. And one of the speakers just said, hey, like when she was saying, like whenever like we hear the word, sometimes it takes more than once. She said, okay, all the time it takes more than once. And Gabe and I have been talking, and guys, I'm not trying to drag this out longer. I could care less that we get through content. I want us to get the content into us. I would rather we learn like less topically, but more with depth that will have root, that will bear fruit in your grandkids' life. And so I'm not trying to drag it out, I promise, but I'm saying, hey, let's go deep together. Okay, let's go deep together because this is important. Guys, this goes back to the Garden of Eden, right? Can you find identity in the Garden of Eden? Can you find sexuality in the Garden of Eden? Can you find gender in the Garden of Eden? Is our culture confused about all of it? So it's important for us to get back at the heart of God's design. So that's what we're committing to, okay? Oh my gosh, that was so scary. Okay. Do you believe God has pure intentions? Yeah. So can you just put your hand on your heart and pray, God, help us discover the fullness of your pure intention. God, help us discover the fullness of your pure intention. That's what we want. So we are building a bridge from identity into sexuality and gender as we are studying and looking at what God says in Ephesians about the body. And we're going to look at what he talks about as we get just a few weeks from now. We'll get into really talking about, as we read through Ephesians, guys, we're not going to have to go someplace else. We're going to read in Ephesians about how he talks about the body and marriage and Jesus and the church, and it's all together. And it's beautiful. And we're going to pray that God will continue to reveal more of his pure intention to us as we continue to go and we build on each week what we're learning, okay? So we're talking about the body. We're talking about the body of Christ. In the last couple weeks, we talked about a lot, but all of it is to the praise of his glory. And this morning, I want to add another aspect to this, because this morning we want to talk about the hope of his promise. Actually, we're gonna do some, how many of you in school ever took something like a pretest? Do you ever take a pretest in school? David, Wade, what's a pretest? Right. So this is going to be somewhat of a pretest to prepare us to really get into the hope of his promise, because I'm a real big believer that we will understand and learn more and see more truth integrated into our life if we can understand where we're starting from. Does that make sense? So if I know my starting place and where I'm at in my journey, I will know much better how to track. It's so frustrating to me. I don't know what setting I have on my phone, but sometimes on my phone, if I hit directions, like in Google, it will open up Google Maps, but it doesn't have my starting location. And when I'm driving down the road, I don't know the address of where I am. So I could be a mile away and have no clue how to get there unless I know the fixed location where I'm at. Does that make sense? All right, I know a lot of people are tired. A lot of people had late nights, but you try. I did too, so you stay with me, okay? We're gonna try to roll through this together. So there's a hope of his promise. Say, hope of promise. Hope of promise. Well, listen, I want us to stop right now and read the word. We're gonna read these verses I've been asking you guys to read over this week. And don't worry, if you didn't do it, you have another opportunity. Yes? Yes, I can. Yes. I always appreciate when Gabe says, hey, can you do this? It means I need to. What does the word hope mean? Let's do it real easy. What does hope mean in today's culture? I want it to happen. Someone said over here, wish. That is not the scriptural meaning, right? The wish of promise, that's just a horrible thing to put up there, right? Sure. Yes, this is what the Bible says. It is a certain expectation. So hope is not something that I just, when you wish upon a star. No, it is something I can stand on. It is something I can believe for. Read Hebrews 11 to understand the connection between faith and hope. Really, get into Hebrews 11 to understand what this word means. Because, guys, how many of you understand that this floor is something we can all stand on? Right? How many of you thought about that when you walked in this morning? Like, wow, I wonder how the floor joists are put together. So, guys, we've been talking about the floor for a long time. And you haven't even thought about how the floor is put together, most of you. Because it's something you can stand on. That is actually a lot clearer picture of what biblical hope is. It's like, it is certain. I have an expectation that whenever I sit on this chair, that's not going to fall apart. That when I stand on the floor, it's not going to fall through. There's a spot in my dining room. It's a weak spot. No, it's safe. You're not going to fall through it. It's just a one weak little board. It's supported. But man, every time I hit that spot, I'm like, oh, that doesn't feel good. But hope, so hope of promise, and then Barry, I'll get you. Hope of promise, the hope of his promise, is if God says something is certain, if he says something is true, then I need to build my life on that promise even whenever I haven't experienced it yet. If he said it. Right. All right, come on, Surya, come here. Woohoo!
Give it up, ladies and gentlemen, for the one and the only Saria Dorsey. Are you ready to rumble? All right.
Okay. So I'm going to, you just think of some alternative lyrics. Okay. So I'm going to say, if you said it, and then you're going to say something that is like not belief. Okay. If you said it.
You're a liar.
Okay. Anybody who's ever, okay, wait. This is just going to get real. Anybody who, let's say within the last 6 months has said, God, I think you're lying. Stand up. In your heart. Yeah, right? If you said it, I don't believe, right? This happens if we don't know there's a hope and it's promise, right? All right, you can sit down. No, no condemnation. We're all participating, right? Here we go. If you said it.
But what about my bank account?
Woo, just stand up. Please stand up. Please stand up. All right, here we go. All right, you can be seated. Yeah, some of us need to stand up 2 or 3 times on that one, right? If you said it.
But what about my destiny?
Ooh, woo, go ahead. Go ahead. There's several of you like just waiting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just, yeah. Okay. Again, no condemnation. Yeah. All right. All right, here we go. We'll just do like maybe 2 more ready, so make them good, right? Okay. If you say, oh, wait, hold on. These have all been good. Okay. I don't want to take away your grand finale. Okay, here we go. If you said it.
But God, I sinned again.
Oh, God, I sinned again. God, I sinned again. Wow. We're just going to have the altar call right after this. Woo! Man, let's just stay there for a second. Hold on. We got to stay there. So how does your sin, think about it. This is a mind shift we have to have, right? What do we believe about our sin that's more powerful than his word? Selah. How many of you can say there's times when I believe my sin is more powerful than God's word? Right? But if my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, if my hope is built on nothing less than what he says, then what I am doing is trying to bring my life into alignment with his life and with his truth, not trying to figure out how do I sculpt his word to match my experience. I am somewhat troubled. Do we get that? Do we agree with that? Let's not look for a way to build his word into. Listen, oh man, this is good. If his word is fragmented and broken, then I can get it and build it to sculpt my life. But if his word is a solid rock that I'm standing on, then I can't take a piece here and a piece there. Right? So what do you think there's more likelihood of a brick hewn out of the rock, crumbling and becoming sand, or the rock crumbling and becoming sand? The former. So when I take a piece of the word and try to use that, it's much more likely that that piece of the word is going to fall apart and I'm going to find myself standing on sand instead of a solid rock. My God. There we go. All right, here we go. If you said it.
But Lord, I've been waiting.
Man. Whew. Thank everybody, give it up for the amazing Saria Dorsey. Wow. Wow. That's crazy good. We should do that every week. Now listen. What have I been waiting? What if my hope was so certain that waiting became longing? Michael and Hannah, please come here. Michael, stand here. Hannah, stand here. Please turn and face each other and hold hands.
How many times have we done this?
I know. It's just so fun, right? So, but let's just wait. Like a bride waiting for her groom will be a church waiting. What if the waiting on God was to create an endurance in us that we knew how to wait on him? What if the waiting turned to longing? And what if the waiting caused us to deal with places we don't trust him? Because there is going to be a wedding. Listen, the promises you're waiting on here are never going to bring you the fulfillment of the promise of who you are in him and the fact that he's coming back. So when you find yourself frustrated at the waiting, what if that waiting grew longing? Josh and Lacey were with us this weekend, and they were speaking last night, and Lacey was talking about their relationship and their romance. And a lot of their romance came from the fact that one of the boundaries her spiritual dad put in place was no kissing until they got engaged. It was a year. And she said, every time he would come around, I'd be like, ah. Yeah. And she said, I didn't think this was even possible. She said, but it created a longing in my heart. You may now kiss the bride. Yeah. Close your eyes. Hold on. Just fair warning, if you don't want to watch, close your eyes. You may now kiss the bride. Whoa. Okay. I was just playing with you that time. Go ahead. Kiss your bride. Celebrate the covenant. All right. So thank you for that divine interruption, Gabe. I love that. Everybody thank Gabe for that, okay? All right, so we talked last week about walking worthy, and I really just want to start here and go back here because this is just, I have not been able to get away from this week, about the many dimensions of God. And part of God's design for the body is that we discover his dimensions. There is a word, manifold wisdom, and that word manifold is a crazy word. Look what it means. It means the ultra diverse with multitudinous expressions. So yeah, let's check this out, guys. It means diverse diversity. It means much diversity. How many aspects are there of God's wisdom? Okay. How many aspects are there of God's wisdom? Right, and where did he say he was depositing that manifold wisdom? In the church. So I need Lindsay, I need Cody, I need Ray. We need other churches. We need to be connected to other people. I need, not only do I need what Maddie carries, but like, I just got to meet Maddie's mother. Do you know deposited inside of her is a unique expression of God? And so I may not have ongoing conversations with her, but because she has poured into her daughter, I receive from the many facets of God's wisdom in her life. Does that make sense? I was very humbled this week as I was walking down the hall and this woman stopped me. She said, are you Brad? And I said, yes. And she said, thank you. And I said, I don't know you. And she said, someone gave me a copy of your book in December, and my family's in a really hard time, and God used your story of following Jesus to really help our family transition. And now I gave it to my daughter and her husband, and they're now moving to a town that I've been praying for about 10 years, and they're going to plant a church. Like, I had no idea. Stories that we worked out together became a part of fuel for someone. Guys, we can't live for that moment. We just have to be faithful to each other and trust God with the seed of his life in us, right? Does that make sense? So we talked about his manifold wisdom, the many, many facets of his wisdom. We also talked about his multi-dimensional love. It's got height, it's got width, it's got length, it's got breadth. And the call for us is to walk worthy. The call for us is to walk in a way that shows the worship. That's where we get the English word worship, is the idea of what something is worth. And in the first several verses of Ephesians chapter 4, we have this idea of walking worthy, and then it lays it out. Hey, walk with lowliness. How much lowliness? All lowliness. Walk with gentleness. Walk with long-suffering, bearing with each other, endeavoring to keep unity of the Holy Spirit. I want to go ahead right now. Can you turn your Bibles? We're going to read the verses I ask you to read, and then we're going to come back and talk about verse 6. But we're going to read that, and I'm going to do my best to move through this as quickly as I can without skimming, but I want to really ask you to do whatever you can to really engage in this word. Because I am trying to learn how to do this. But I have just been encountering God in the midst of his word, and I do not, like I've said before, I do not just want to give you a book report and show you some slides. I'm praying that the living word of God would get into us, okay? So let's read this word, starting in Ephesians 4, verse 7, okay? But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now, there's parentheses. Does anybody know the rule? David Wade, do you know the rule of what happens whenever you're reading in public or reading out loud and you hit parentheses? Does anybody know? So right now, I'm going to read the parentheses, but when you're reading parentheses, parentheses are there for further explanation. And when you're reading aloud, you would not read the parentheses, okay? So when we go back through this in just a few minutes, we're going to acknowledge the parentheses, but we're going to keep going because of the context, okay? So this is what it says in verse 9. Now this he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended to the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended above all the heavens that he might fill all things. Now this is a very important part of scripture, but this is basically given as a place of explanation to tie these things together. It's helpful. And I want you to look at purpose, okay? Because we could actually spend a few weeks just looking at what does that mean and why it's important. But in our conversation about the body, this is gonna be about it, okay? So if you have questions about it, ask me after. Or just study it. Yeah. Verse 11, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of a Son of God. Now, this is one really long run-on sentence. But what I need you to do is when I pick back up, I want you to listen to the promise and decide if the promise is worth going after. Can you do that? Can you listen to what God is saying? And can we decide together if this is worth going after? I'm going to read verse 13 again. Till we all come to unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men in cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. That is a long run-on sentence. But is it worth it? Is it worth it? What stands out to you from what I just read that would be worth it? Grow into the head. How we look like Jesus. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Each joint supplying the need of the other until we are functioning properly. Right? Is it worth it? Guys, is it worth it? All right, so we're going to go and look at this today. We're not going to try to do all this today. We're actually going to just get like one verse into that. But we want to get, actually, gonna hopefully get to verse 11, okay? But we are going to try to set ourselves ready to dive into the rest of that. And actually, you'll have a couple weeks. I really would love if some people would try to diagram that whole sentence. Who would be up for that challenge to try to diagram that sentence? Verses 11 through 16. My translation is all one sentence. Yeah. Yep. So David will do it. If anybody else would like to try, and then try to get it to me, like not this Wednesday, but the following Wednesday. Okay. All right. So we said last week, why do we walk worthy? We walk worthy because of one. I want to just quickly touch here as we kind of tie back in verse 4. It says, there is one body, one spirit, just as you are called with one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So we want to touch on this morning as we go into those couple of verses, okay? So we said that the reason why we walk worthy is because of one. And because in verse 3, it says we should walk in a way that we're keeping the unity of the Spirit. Now, this is really important because we don't have to manufacture unity. And I've said this before, but I want to say it again. Unity is not something that we seek. It's the fruit of walking in love. It's the fruit of understanding that we belong to the same Father. So whether that's unity in my relationship with Hannah or unity in my relationship with another part of the body of Christ, the way that I treat you will be drastically changed if I understand the way that we're connected in the heart of God. Right? And so this is a very important part of Scripture because what we remember, don't lose the plot. We're looking at this to understand God's design for the body. Does that make sense? Okay, so because of what he is worth, because our lives are all for his glory, for the praise of his glory built upon the hope of his promise, this morning we want to look at oneship. We want to look at the way that we connect. And Paul goes through and he lays some things out. So I want to do this morning. I want to find out how many of you who are here, you grew up in an AOX in your town. Well, Eliza raised her hand a little bit. That's true. That's cool. But stand up, Eliza. You come stand in the center. We're going to make Eliza the center. Eliza and, well, okay. Well, Gabe, pick one, because what I'm going to do, I need you to pick. Okay, so Eliza's going to be center for us. And nobody be afraid, but we got to do this if we're going to talk about one body. So can you give us maybe 20 to 30 seconds about, if you were to describe your church and community, how would you describe it to someone who didn't know anything about church?
Like this church community or my?
No, the one you came from. No, now we're going to talk about the one that you've come from, right? And we're going to make a little graph with people.
I'm going to describe it based on who didn't know anything about church.
Yep.
Okay. A group of families that is committed to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and wants to know how to live out the gospel in their lives that meets together throughout the week, but also on Sundays to worship and read scripture and encourage each other in their faith.
How many of you like that?
All right.
Woo. Now, describe it to a Christian who's saying, what kind of church do you go to?
Oh, gosh. Well, we are a home church that isn't affiliated with a particular denomination. I don't know how to describe it.
All right. Okay, so I need someone who grew up in a church that was very different than what you just described to stand up. Micah, stand up, and if you were to describe, so I'm going to let you set the distance between you and Eliza of how far removed your church experience was from what you just described. Stay in the building. Okay, same question, Micah. To someone who wasn't a believer, knew nothing about church, how would you describe where you grew up? And guys, we're not doing this to dishonor anyone. We're doing this to show there's a lot of diversity in the body, but how many bodies are there? All right, go. Now, if I were to say I'm a church police guy, I'm like, what kind of church did you grow up in? How would you answer that? Yeah, well, both. Just denomination and your experience. Ooh. There are a lot of different types of Baptists, in case you didn't know, okay? Any other people besides me who grew up in a Baptist-ish kind of place? Okay, go stand behind Micah. Okay. Who had a pretty different experience than Micah growing up? Saria Dorsey. Okay, where are you going to go stand? Where are you going to go? How are you going to position yourself with Eliza and with these Baptist people? Okay, hello over there. All right, how would you describe your church experience to someone who didn't know anything about church? You just tell him. You're trying to explain to him what it is. I thought she was going to say getting laid out. Okay. Now, I'm the church police. What kind of church did you go to? Every song is about breakthrough. Gotta get it. Okay. How many of you could go align yourself in the way that you grew up with Saria? Anybody can say they more had that kind of experience? Sup, bruh? Okay. Somebody who had an experience different than here, or there. Hold on for just a second. I want churched experience. So if this is church experience. How many of you were unchurched growing up? Like, you didn't go to church. Anybody here didn't? Oh, Lish, thank you that you're here. Anybody else? Yeah. Okay. She left, yeah. All the unchurched people have left, yeah. They're practicing what we're teaching. All right. Bear, what did you grow up in? Well, hold on. I'm going to pick one for you because you have the Methodist church on. Sure. Woo, hello. Come on, girl. Get it. So, Methodist, where would you put yourself on the continuum here? More this way? Okay. All right. Give us a quick answer. How would you describe your church community to someone who didn't know anything about church in the Methodist experience? Okay. This is, yeah. Yeah. All right, no, wait just a second. Do you have any other people that were Methodist-ish, Methodist, Wesleyan? Okay, come over here, okay? Now, but I want you to see, we could actually take a lot more time and break down how different each of these groups are, right? Now, who had a different experience than Baptist, Methodist, Eliza's home church, family-oriented thing, Pentecostal? Who had a very different experience from that? Yes, sir. Alex Cathedral. That's the way my car says it. I know it's cathedral, but I just... Ooh. Okay. Okay. All right. So, any other Presbyterians in the house? All right. Let's go back to the Presbyterian. Now, wait, but see, I want you to understand something. Where? Where would you stand? So you think the Presbyterians are closer to Charismatics than Methodists?
Well, I mean, Evangelical Presbyterian. Which is the Presbyterian?
That are, yeah. Oh, okay. Now we understand. Listen, do you understand what's happening here? Okay, now look. What else do we have quickly? What else do we have in the house? Episcopalians. Where would Episcopalians place them? Anglican. Thank you. There is a... Yes, it is. So where would you put yourself? Okay, go back. Go back to where you think you should be. Like, I know. So it's multidimensional, right? So you, if people want to stay with Katie, go with Katie because she's going to be back there. Holy Spirit, where do you... Oh, Lindsay's trying to still distract. I'm trying to... Because we got some Presbyterians that are back there with Jamie and Alex, right? Okay, so you guys go where you're going to go. All right, I mean, it may not be all together, but just... So go ahead. Come on. Thank you. Come on. So, yeah, let's do that. And then how many of you were non-denominational growing up? Any non-denoms in the house? Woohoo! Okay. Can you... Bear, stay over here. Bear, stay over here. You got the Methodist... But you got the Methodist... I need you, man. You're the Methodist ringleader. Yeah, that's fine. But you wore the shirt, bro. All right. So the non-denominational people, I want you to align yourself where you think. You don't have to all be together. But align yourselves where you think you need to be at. Now, everybody else who is not yet standing, actually, I'm really interested. Where would you put yourself? Come on. Mm-hmm. You should be standing right here. Yeah. You should be standing right here because the Christian Missionary Alliance were formed by an amazing man of God named A.B. Simpson who grew up. Actually, you just stand. If you could get help her with the... Oh, hold on. She needs to straddle the chair. So someone bring a chair up to her. Seriously, because you need to see this. Because she... Listen, A.B. Simpson is an amazing man of God who was trained... So reach out your hand to Katie. Oh, got to straddle. Straddle it. There we go. Okay. Well, I don't know what you are yet. Get out of the way. Hold Loretta's hand. Hold on. You're Alliance? Oh, okay. Oh, okay. You can do that. All right. Here we go. So we got A.B. Simpson growing up with Reformed theology, Presbyterian, and then was massively influenced by the Wesleyan movement, by holiness movement. And he began to emerge this message of the gospel of Jesus Christ that was never intended to become a denomination. It was an alliance. There was actually two different alliances. There was the Christian Alliance that was for the spreading of the gospel in North America, and there was a Missionary Alliance that was meant for the spread of the gospel to the unreached people groups around the world. And he said, this cannot become a denomination because this is the message of the gospel. This is the message of Jesus. But when he died, in order to honor him, they made a denomination. And I have a lot of roots here. Like you might can tell I'm very passionate about this group of people. But the movement stopped moving because they wanted to build an altar to where he was standing when he died. That's a prayer. And it's a dream of many leaders in the Alliance Church. Now listen, I need Lish, can you come and represent Holy Spirit for a second? Actually, if you're still sitting, I need you to come to me. So Laura and Haley and Jess, anybody else that's still, come stand behind me. Now everybody turn and face the screen for a second. How many bodies are there? Is it easy for you to think, well, that's not how we did it in the church I grew up in? How many bodies are there? Now listen, please don't get Cody Weber. Come forth. Oh my gosh. Yes, sorry, I didn't mean to call. I kind of said that, and I'm like, oh, I don't know if I should have done that. No, oh, you put yourself in a group. Okay, I was going to make you unassigned and bring you up here with us. But okay, here, I want you to look at this for a second, guys. This is really important because this is not all on one plane. This is so many axes. I mean, think about Bear for a second. He grew up in a Native American Methodist church. Now, most of you would have described what he described. He said, yeah, there's a bunch of old people and not a lot of young people. But he said there were a lot of elders. Do you hear the difference? Because there's something in that church, even though that's not where he would have chosen to identify, except he was wearing the shirt and I made him. There was something in that that gave him a value. Is valuing and honoring elders important? So we may be able to learn something because we're praying, God, send us more people who are older. Send us more spiritual moms and dads. What if we could learn something? Hold your arms out. What if we could get up under the grace from something that Bear learned and recognize, wow, I want to have a heart of honor for elders. But maybe the Methodist church that Katie grew up in didn't care anything about that. I'm not saying they didn't. Do you understand what I'm saying? But this is many planes. This is many different ways of seeing this. But how many bodies are there? Now, Lish, you're going to represent Holy Spirit. So I want you to walk throughout the body. Walk throughout the body. How many spirits are there? No, wait. Hold on. That's a great question. Let's repent. Hey, let's repent. Let's repent. Let's repent. How many of you thought Holy Spirit likes my kind of church best? Seriously, let's just pray. For those of you who can raise your hand, Holy Spirit is committed to who?
The whole church.
Holy Spirit's committed to how many bodies?
One.
Right? Come on. Hey, she got it. Holy Spirit will move differently.
Yeah.
It will manifest differently.
You missed us.
That Presbyterians feel that way sometimes. How many Holy Spirits are there?
One.
Is this coming through? All right. Haley. Everybody say Haley.
Haley,
Haley is for hope. How many hopes are there? All right. So you see what happens across the body if we begin to fragment. And we have one political move on this side of the room, another political move on this side of the room, and we begin to become known more for our differences and the fact that we all belong to each other. What happens to hope? Yes, so I need some people to tear Haley apart. Like, we'll come into a tug of war. Come stand in the middle and fight. No, can't have two Methodists fighting for hope. That's not gonna work, right? I need someone, McCloskey, come and fight for hope. Katie, you come on this side. Okay, so if we have hope, man, how many of you know the world needs hope? How many of you know God did not leave the world hopeless? Where did he put hope at?
In the body.
But what happens when the body is pulling at hope, thinking, no, we've got it. What happens? Hope is lost. Hope is not seen. But God did not make an anecdote and then say, I'm going to hide it now. He put one hope with which you were called. If you were called into the hope of salvation. You are also called in the hope of walking worthy. And walking worthy means walking with all lowliness and with all gentleness and with all long-suffering and with bearing one another, endeavoring to keep the unity of faith. Hope float. Begin to move throughout the body. All right, Laura, step forth. This is awesome. I didn't plan this. Everybody say, Laura.
Laura.
This is not blasphemy. Say, Laura.
Laura.
Say, Lord.
Lord.
Lord. How many of these church would claim the Lord? What does the word Lord mean? Ruler, master, king. How many of these fragments, if we see them fragmented, would claim the lordship of Jesus? All of them. But do I understand the contradiction of the way we live if I look over there at those hand clapping, foot stomping, breakthrough people and believe that they're, listen, and I believe that their Lord is a different Lord than mine? Does that make sense? Jess, step forward. Say, Jess.
Yes.
Say, faith.
Faith.
What is faith? Hey, word people over there, can you bring it for us? You breakthrough people. Wow. Now, seriously, for just a second, guys, we're almost done with this. You can sit down. So just hold tight. Is there a different definition of faith someplace else in the body that we would say? I mean, we could use the same scripture, but how many of you know whenever they read that, it means something a little bit different than whenever somebody else would read that? So if faith has to go over being in the faith camp, can you go and stand in the faith camp, Jess? How are you feeling? Faithless.
Lord said you got to rise up.
Are we getting this? Is this helpful? Guys, we cannot afford to. We, okay? This is one small family. And look at where we are. Cody Weber, step forth. I say, Cody. Step forth a little bit more. Say, baptism. Now listen, I want to focus on the meaning of this word right now because we could have so many different conversations about what baptism is in this room, right? If we talked about it like this. So right now, I'm not talking about the sacrament. I'm talking about what happens when we are baptized into his death. It's very interesting. One of the things that happened this week in listening to Winnie teach out of Romans 6, 7, and 8 is Romans 6, there's a lot of like, hey, we were buried with him, all this stuff. Baptism is mentioned kind of, being buried and planted is mentioned out of order. It's mentioned before being co-crucified. Because there's this action. She called it a pantomime. There's this thing that we do to our bodies that represents something happening in our spirit, right? I don't have time to teach on all that. Come here for a second. Baptism represents the body. We have been praying for mind shifts for a year and a half, but we've only yet really begun to talk about what it means to present our body. Whether you've been sprinkled, poured on, dunked, whether you were in a lake or my living room with a bottle of water, my heart was changed forever whenever I heard a missionary talk about being in the desert. What do? They baptize people with sand. Because it's an action of the heart. How many baptisms? Actually, stay right put. Because there's one baptism, one God. Eliza, that was awesome. That was awesome. Guys, look at the screen. One God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Now, let's see. Can we all touch each other? Can we make this work? Okay, we got to figure this out. Some of you are like, I don't believe in laying on hands, but all right, now listen. How many bodies? I'm just going to read these first few verses. Will you just close your eyes? Will you just consider the body of our Lord? We don't have bread and wine this morning, but can we remember him this morning? Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we could ask, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness, with all gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called with one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Can you just take, let's take 30 seconds, maybe a minute. Can you just sincerely ask God, is there any places in my heart that I've not been seeing your body correctly? By your kindness, change the way I think.